thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
Growing up, our kids loved watching Disney movies. I don't know how life was for you, but they loved the one called The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Y'all remember that? Still, some of y'all still watch it. There are two characters in the story that are polar opposite. On one side is Eeyore, who is always gloomy, always pessimistic. The glass is always half empty. And on the other side is Tigger, who is always optimistic, who is always bouncing around. And the glass is always half full. If not, it's overflowing. So, there are two different perspectives when it comes to these characters. Sometimes we think that in the Christian life, you got to be more like Tigger than Eeyore. Just be a spiritual Tigger. Just bounce around a little bit. Just be naive and look at the bright side of things. When you truly understand biblical perspective in the Christian life, it is much, much more than that. It is much deeper. It has much more significance. And that's the message today. We're studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. The series is called Grateful, but the message is called Perspective. You have your Bibles? Turn to Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, and let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul uses the word chains several times in this section. It's a figure of speech. For those of you who are grammarians, it's the figure of speech called synecdoche, which is representing something bigger. Chains represent imprisonment. Paul is in a prison. Why is he in prison? Because he was preaching the gospel. How did he handle that? He did not get angry with God. He did not question God's plan. He did not use it as a setback or an obstacle, see it as a setback and obstacle. Instead, he saw it as an opportunity to further the gospel. It's his perspective that helped him to further the gospel, even in chains. How do you see life? You know, all of us have some chains. Health chains, financial chains, relationship chains. How do you see your life? Do you see it as a setback? As an obstacle? As if God has abandoned you? Or do you see it as an opportunity to further the gospel? You see, the gospel is the lens through which we see life. We're going to learn that today. Have you received the gospel? Do you know Christ as your Savior? I want you to listen again to verse 12. We just read this passage. Paul said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Which things is Paul referring to? What has happened to Paul? Now, I just mentioned to you that Paul was in a prison. Now, don't assume that he was in some kind of a dungeonous prison with rats and filth and his feet in stocks. The fact that he is writing this epistle, the fact that he has visitors in this prison tells us that this was not your dungeon prison. This is more of a house arrest kind of situation. He is there awaiting trial. Remember, he asked an appeal to Caesar. So now he is in a different kind of prison waiting to see the emperor. When Paul talked about the things which happened to me, I believe that he had much more than this house arrest in mind. Now, granted, that was a bad situation, but it's not that bad. when he's talking about the things which happened to me, there is something more that he is referring to. You see, you have to read some other letters that Paul wrote before Philippians to understand what are the things that happened to him. In Romans chapter 15, Paul had shared with the Roman Christians his ultimate plans with the gospel. I want you to hear what he said in Romans 15:28. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. Paul's ultimate plan with the gospel was to take it out west into Europe. You see, Paul was a great strategist. He always went for the big cities. He preached in Jerusalem. He preached in Antioch. He preached in Ephesus. He preached in Athens. And then he wanted to preach in Rome, and from Rome head on into Western Europe towards Spain. You see, that was his goal. Those were his plans. But what happened? His plan failed. In fact, if you read Acts 25, it tells us that now he was at the mercy of a corrupt court system awaiting trial, waiting to see Caesar. He had appealed to Caesar, but now he is stuck in house arrest. No doubt he must have been discouraged. You see, the kind of man Paul was, you can imagine him being disappointed. You can imagine him getting disillusioned. You see, I wanted to take the gospel. I mean, I went to Jerusalem, and so many received the Lord. I went to Antioch, and so many more. And I went to Ephesus, and so many more. And Athens, so many more. Rome, and then Spain. But now I'm sitting in this house arrest. You see, in life, we have many plans. Sometimes we even have godly plans. But then things happen. Things don't work out. And you wonder, God, what is happening here? I was doing this for you, but it seems like the door is closed. It seems like now I am in chains. The way he refers to his situation, he says, I'm in chains. I have been limited. My challenge to you is this. Don't interpret your failed plans as some hidden sin or as an abandonment by God. Sometimes we tend to think, I think God's abandoned me. I think I must have done something wrong. And then the enemy comes and he whispers in your ears and said, the reason you are in chains is because you must have done something wrong. No, friend. To me, it's a great assurance when I read Paul saying, things happen. Paul was a man who walked close to God, and things happen. It's not about, am I faithful? It's not about, am I obeying God? Sometimes things just happen, amen? Things just happen. How did Paul handle this? That's what I want us to focus on. Listen to verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, what Paul was thinking was the end of the road for him actually turned out to be a bend in the road when it came to the gospel. Listen to verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard that my chains are in Christ. Now, to truly appreciate this, you need to understand a little bit about the Roman army. The Romans developed the most effective army in the world. I mean, even to this day, our armies are organized according to their pattern. On the bottom rung, at the bottom level, was the contubernium, which was made up of 8 men. That was the basic unit. 10 of those contuberniums made a century. 6 centuries made a cohort. 80 times 6, 480. And 10 of those cohorts made a legion. 10 times 480 is 4,800. Powerful Roman legion. By the way, later on, the first cohort in the legion was expanded to 12 centuries, which means 960 men in the first cohort, and then 480 in the rest of the nine. So altogether, it was about 5,280 fighting men. The legion was powerful. And it's not just the 5,280 men in the legion. They were led by a young man in his 20s or 30s who was a senator, a Roman senator who had experience as a magistrate, and he was appointed by the emperor himself. Smart man, of course. And it's not just the fighting men. When you saw a legion, there would be close to 120-some horsemen. What were their jobs? It's not that they were cavalries, but they were the ones carrying information. They were the scouts. They were the ones moving things around. Then you had tons of slaves also under these legions. Their job was to do all the menial labor. Their job was to guard the camp, to clean the camp, all these things. So imagine the legion, this powerful unit. And Roman Emperor Augustus had 25 legions at his disposal. What Paul says over here is this: so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest. Guess what? He's not talking about the Roman legions. The word behind palace guard is the word praetorian. The Praetorians were not the legionaries. They were the super elite fighting bodyguards of the emperor. Augustus had three cohorts. Remember, a cohort was 480 men. He had three cohorts around his palace. 1,500 of mixed them up with the Navy SEALs, the SAS with the British, the Israeli Secret Service. I mix them all together. They were amazing fighting men. One can pretty much decimate about 100. And then he also had six cohorts of these Praetorians in the nearby town. Just in case there is a coup, all he has to do is give a word. And next thing you know, six cohorts are descending upon Rome and putting down any rebellion. At the northern or northeastern edge of Rome was a camp of the Praetorians, not the legions. The legions were powerful. The Praetorians were the superpowers, the top brass, the best of the best. At that Praetorian camp, there were about 9,000 of these elite battling machines. Paul, because he appealed to Caesar, guess where he is? He's among these guys. What does he say? Let's go back to that verse again. So that it has become evident to the whole Praetorian, 9,000 some super soldiers, and to all the rest, which means even the elites among them, that my chains are in Christ. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Paul began that verse with, "The things that happened to me." You know, some of you are stuck in the things that happened to me. This is what life has handed me. My health, my finances, my relationship, my bad choices, my bad decisions. Things have happened to me. Paul says, but it's not the end. Guess what's happening? I have been put right in the middle of the top brass, those guys who rub shoulders with the Roman emperor. I am witnessing to them. And not just to them, but to all the rest about Jesus Christ. Let me say this, and I want you to hear me very carefully. If you look at the things that have happened to you only from a earthly and earthly, selfish, fleshly perspective, you will get depressed. If you look at your circumstances only from, well, this happened to me and that happened to me, you will get discouraged. But if you look at life, if you look at your problems, your chains, from a heavenly, selfless, spiritual perspective, you will realize that the Holy Spirit has set you up perfectly to further the gospel. As a believer, don't look at life as it happened. No, look at life as God, the master chess player, moving the pieces around and saying, now, you thought you were going there, but no, you're going to go here. look up and say, God, what's going on? Why did you place me here? A believer cannot look at life through any other lens but the gospel lens. Lord, what is it that you're trying to do through me that will reach someone for Jesus Christ? I guarantee you, right in your position right now, God has placed individuals who need the gospel. You may be saying, God, get me out of here. I want to move. I want to do this. I want to get out of here. I want to quit. And the Holy Spirit is saying, but I put you there because the Praetorians need to hear the gospel. He said, they're not Praetorians. Do you know how proud and arrogant some of these Praetorians were? You must be some. Imagine Paul in the midst of these people sharing the gospel. And the Holy Spirit is breaking their hearts. And they're opening up. You see, God has strategically placed you where you are for a reason. He has great things in store, but the gospel has to be the lens through which you see life. I can give you a great message. Be positive. Look up. Even teach you the promises of God. That's not going to help you. But if I tell you, you are where you are because God wants to use you to bring someone to Jesus. Now, folks, that will help you more than anything else. But now that's just on the inside of the prison. What's happening on the outside of the prison? Listen to verse 14, what Paul says here. He says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Things happen. My plans failed. I was hoping to preach in Rome. I was hoping to go on to Spain. Things happened. But guess what? God put me in the midst of the Praetorians. And the whole Praetorian and all the rest are hearing what it means to be in Christ. They're hearing the gospel. Praise God for that. But that's not the end. Something else is happening. The brothers and sisters in Christ on the outside are hearing what I'm doing on the inside. And they are becoming more bold in sharing the gospel. My effectiveness inside the prison is bringing courage to those outside the prison. Billy Graham said something that has always stayed with me. He said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. The word is getting out that Paul is winning the Praetorians to Christ. Guess what that does to those on the outside who are going, man, the Romans are going to persecute the church. They're going to kill us. They're going to take our families away. They go, wait a minute, Paul can do that in prison to the Praetorians? And he is winning them to Jesus? They take on more courage. Hey, listen, nothing helps us more than being around a courageous person. It helps you, doesn't it? You feel like, man, I can do it. If they're doing it, I can do it too. If she is telling people about Jesus, why can't I? If he is willing to talk about Jesus, why cannot I? And so other people on the outside are also. But do you get the point? In the whole process, the gospel is moving out. If Paul had not taken the gospel, if he had not talked to those Praetorians, because guess what? Once they retired, they become heads of the legions. Now they have 400, 500,000 soldiers under them. There's a reason why Christianity spread into Europe. It's the courage of Paul. It is the gospel perspective of Paul. Now I want us to see something else here in verse 15. You know, just when you think Paul is a naive person or he is so simple. No, he is very smart. Listen to what he says in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ. He's talking about those on the outside. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Things happen to me, but it's all good. I'm actually witnessing to the top brass, and everybody's hearing the gospel. And guess what? Even on the outside, people are now beginning to preach because they hear how God is using me with these elite soldiers, these top commanders, these generals. It's giving courage to those outside. But there's a little issue going on. Some people are actually preaching out of envy and strife. And some also from goodwill. Then he says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Which means this, when some of them heard that Paul was in prison, they began to preach sermons like this. Without saying Paul's name, they would say things like, you know, if God really loved his people, he would not put them in prison. Why would God not rescue certain famous people who write letters and stuff like that? You see what they're doing on the outside? And if I was Paul, I would have written a letter to them and said, cease and desist. I would have filed a lawsuit against them if I could. I would have sent some people to them and said, listen, you go talk to them and tell them, it's because of me that you have the courage to speak and you're attacking me. How dare you? Shame on you. You are absolutely worthless. Get out of the ministry. What is Paul's response? Listen to what he says. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel, what then? Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Folks, you have to walk real close to God to be able to say that. Sitting in prison, preaching to the Praetorians, you are encouraged and emboldened to preach because of me, but now you're attacking me while you're preaching out there. But, praise God, Jesus is being preached. He said, that doesn't happen today. People don't, are you serious? You know how many church people are jealous and envious of each other? I've had to deal with that through the years. Any little success, and people start talking. We're all on the same team, but it doesn't feel like it. We're all doing one thing, which is taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Why attack each other? They were attacking Paul. Getting courage from him, but attacking him. Paul says, it's okay. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now, Paul lists two things over here that you and I need in a time like this. Listen to verse 19. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. By the way, deliverance is not getting out of prison. What Paul is saying is this. I know I'm in this situation right now where people are talking trash about me. I'm in prison. I'm winning people to Jesus. Some are actually out there preaching the truth. It's a mess, but I think in the end, the gospel is going to keep moving forward. But I need you to do some things for me. He says, this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. I need your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Two things I need. Two things you and I need when we're going through those chain events and circumstances of life. Number one is a prayer of God's people. See, this is why many of us, when we are in our chains, physical chains, sickness chain, financial chains, relationship problems chain, marriage problems chains, children problem chains, when we're going through these things and we say, I think we can manage this. You need godly people to be praying for you. I'm not saying you need to put all your dirty laundry out there, but find godly people and say, can you please pray for me? He said, I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to pray for myself. No, this is the formula. Paul says, what's going to help me? You need to pray for me. Get other people to pray for you. What is the second thing that you need? The Holy Spirit. You need the supply of the Holy Spirit of God. And what's going to happen? Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, here comes his focus again, with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Ultimately, Paul says, all I want to do is put Jesus on a big billboard. The Praetorians are seeing it. And other preachers and ministers and fellow Christians are preaching him. Jesus is getting on the big billboard. Praise God for that, whether by life or by death. It doesn't matter if I live or I die. The gospel keeps moving forward. Now, why did Paul tell us all this? Was he trying to reassure the Philippians that everything is fine with him? Was he trying to clear his name? I know those people are talking about me out there. You know how many times people waste their time trying to clear their reputation? Don't think that your reputation is going to stay spotless long. In this life, somebody else will smear your reputation. Was Paul just being cathartic? You know what cathartic is? He was just bearing his soul. He was just trying to talk about his feelings. Nothing like that. The reason Paul went into this whole spiel from things happened to me, but it's going to help because the gospel is moving among the Praetorians, the elite soldiers, and even on the outside they're preaching, man, it's awesome, but there are some who are talking trash about me, I know, but praise God, the gospel is still going on. I am so grateful. I need your prayers, and I need the Holy Spirit. And in the end, Christ is... Why did he go into all those details? Listen carefully. To teach the Philippians how to face their chains in life. You know what Paul's motto was for ministry? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul was a man full of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew to really get those Philippians to come out of their chains and start ministering and start spreading the gospel, he had to give his own personal example. So he says, let me tell you what's happening with me. Now, I don't have any proof, but I can imagine the Philippian church. I've been to that city. They're reading that letter. And I can see the pastor of that Philippian church looking down and saying, I know the Romans have been tough lately, but I tell you what, if Paul can do that, so can we. I can see a couple over there saying, you know, we've had some difficult times lately. It's been tough, but I know the enemy is attacking us, but other people are watching us. Other couples are watching us. This is a time that we don't need to give up, but get godly people to pray for us. We don't need to go in details, but get them to pray for us, and in the process, share the gospel with these people around us. There's a man over there, there's a woman over there struggling with some sickness or some ailment. It's depressing, it's discouraging, it's painful. Paul is teaching them how to change their perspective and look at life through the gospel. With godly people praying and the Holy Spirit, you can do that. This morning, what is your perspective? Are you looking at life through the gospel? Or is the enemy got you in chains and he's got you in that place and you just cannot seem to break free and life is over and this is as good as it gets? I just got to survive, take a day at a time. Is that it? Not for a believer. Prayer and the Holy Spirit will change your perspective. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, what I've said to you will not make sense because the Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You have to receive Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit will say, you know, this message is for you. This message is for me.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Just like Paul, it's only through the lens of the gospel that we can maintain a proper perspective on God and what He's doing in our lives. Trust that God is working and that He's faithful to continue working in your life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.